to show success.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, trying to give a wee platform to all the activists who actually deserve some freaking coverage, because if the media won't do their job, you've got to do it for them, because they're too pathetic and irrelevant. And I feel, now that it's 2012 and all, that it's about time that we talk to some new people, you know, get introduced, both to the audience and to myself, and find out what's going on around the world. And we have, I believe, a guest on the line here, Joe Yarka. Joe, are you there?
Yes, I am, Vinny. How are you today?
I'm actually feeling really, really fabulous this morning.
Well, so am I. And I thank you for bringing me on your radio show.
Well, now we know what's making you fabulous. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, Joe?
Well, let's see. The reason I'm on is because I wrote a book, and it is now on Amazon Kindle, and I sent you an email exposing you to it, that fact, is if you were a gentleman that likes to read for entertainment purposes, because that's what I wrote it for, to entertain and give a little escapism. But prior to that, I was... working in the air conditioning and heating field, and had been between jobs when all of a sudden I just decided to occupy myself in writing the book. And it just flowed like water out of a faucet for 30 days, and it was over with. And I had started out to attempt to write a book that I would enjoy reading. So... now I'm living in New Mexico, United States, and the notion that I still owned the copyright to the book came to me, and someone said, well, try what you can. So I'm trying what I can, and at 60 years old, I feel it may be the last hurrah and a way for people sometime down the line to remember, yeah, I remember that name. It sounds familiar, but I don't know what it was, but at least someone will remember it.
So what's the book about?
It's a kind of an adventure story in the sense that it was ancient Native Americans and their adventure into a mythology character creation from their spiritual belief system. It's about a boy coming to life in the spiritualness of his tribe, being selected, going on an adventure, and saving his tribe in the long run from a bunch of barbarous tribesmen out to kill. Sounds a lot like the culture today.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. And it sounds like the movies, and it's kind of like a cross spectrum of what's really going on in a fictional context, which is ironic because what's really going on is that everything's being told in a fictional context, so you don't know what the truth is.
True, true. So that gives liberty to the writer to turn around and create whatever they want.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you're making this situation up to manipulate everybody and tell a wee story? I'm going to make something up and tell a story.
There you go. A lot of the book also stems on the lack of morals in the world that the book takes place and tries to reinstall some of them. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I... wasn't a moralistic character when I was a young shaver, my mother and father whacked the crap out of me because of it. Today, that doesn't seem to happen. It's more permissive. It's more allowed to be accepted, even encouraged to some degree.
I think it's when you're a scumbag of some description, you usually wipe out your competition around you. You don't usually work together well in a group. So that person basically... will wind up rising to the top. Kind of like just how scum rises to the top of a pond.
Well, when I was in grammar school, there was an occasion in the schoolyard where the bullies tried to control the schoolyard. Well, I and a couple others didn't agree with that, so we got to the point where the bullies were no longer any effect on the rest of the schoolyard. And sadly, that doesn't happen today. You got more? Pardon?
What do you see as the actual problem with how people used to be to how people are today?
Well, let's see. The last time I had this happen was about a year ago, where when I was going into a store, right behind me was a woman, and I turned around instead of opening the door to the store and walking in, I held the door for her, and I got such a astonished look, like, you know, this type of stuff don't happen. People have just plain out become stupid, ignorant, and greedy. And the greed has overcome the morals, the interest in other people's welfare, the friendliness that used to be around. You've heard stories where, I don't know, in New Zealand, but at least in America, where you could turn around and walk out your house, go down the store, and never lock the door to the house. You couldn't do that today. At least not in the cities. I moved out to the middle of nowhere long ago, and I can still do that here, but that's a different story when you you live in a area where there's more wildlife than there are people.
Well, the irony is, you know, I live in New Zealand, and I get your point, is that you can kind of lock it all the time. And I was thinking about this the other day, actually, is every single time I get out of my car, even if I'm just going into the gas station to get myself, you know, a drink or something, I'll always lock my car door, even though my car's still in sight the entire time.
Yeah.
And yet, when I go up to, and that's when I'm in the city, but when I'm driving up north to see my cousins or something like that, much smaller towns or whatever, I do not even bother even closing the door. I leave the door freaking wide open as I walk into the gas station to get me some milk.
Well, you can do that around where I'm living at the moment. Most of the people here all are interconnected in some form or fashion. If you're here long enough, they all know of you if you don't know of them personally. And
what does this say about urban living in general? Is it that we as a society, as a people, have become ignorant and irresponsible? Or is that just the fact that we now live in cities and we don't grow our own food, we're not in touch with nature, we're not in touch with other people, and there's too many people to have a social relationship with all of them?
True.
So you have to contend with the fact that you don't know who's out there. You don't know what their motivations are, that kind of thing. And because you're crowded in, it casts suspicion. It's like you're in a massive crowd, and apparently somebody in that crowd's got a virus. Who is it?
Well, do you ever remember an old movie called, I think it was Willard?
Yeah, with the training the rats.
Yeah, well, most of the cities are like that. Everybody is scrambling around with one meaningful objective and sort of damn anything else in the way.
I found it's more like a zombified thing, and I find this must be a particular thing that happens, maybe not in New Zealand, but certainly in Asia, where the crosswalks and everything are so robotic and people do always obey them. Like, nobody jaywalks, nobody does any of this other kind of stuff. And yet in New Zealand, you see it all the time. You know, people will just be crossing the road any which way. Cops don't care. Nobody gets hurt. Everybody's driving around nice and slow. It's all sweet as. But that's in a massive city of only like 1 million people, which is insignificant. You take Tokyo, which is...
Well,
who knows how many million, like 10, 14 million. You better be programmed like a rat in a maze if you're actually going to survive that maze, because all these signals tell you exactly what you can and can't do.
Yeah. Well,
and you notice people from Asia and New Zealand, they never cross the roads outside of the crosswalks. One time, I was actually, this is a funny story, pulled up to an intersection, and there's an Asian lady there, and she stops, okay? And I stop too, because I'm actually getting out of the car to go pick some cherry blossoms off a tree for my girlfriend. So I get out of the car, I walk over to the tree, pick a couple of cherry blossoms, get back in my car. The lady's still standing there waiting for me to go. There's a lot of robotic kind of behavior, and that's not an isolated incident either with any race of people. It's the exact same thing. Everybody's got this kind of robot, I'm not going to go outside of these rules that I've been programmed into.
Well, I was born in upstate New York in a town called Syracuse, and when I was downtown at times, I could turn around and cut across the street before the intersections because the store or business I was going to was directly across from me. Then I turn around, you know, and I visited once or twice New York City, and it's just like you were saying, roboticness. Nobody crossed the street. Nobody. Everybody was, you know, waiting. Everybody was, you know, not observing the people around them as much as they were just centered on whatever. It's become a strange world since I grew up. But then life is change, no matter how much.
I think that the world's strange because you're not in so much contact with other people around you. I feel that the more people you interact with, the easier it becomes to understand the world sort of thing, because you're getting a lot more input. And now, because everybody's so withdrawn, and instead of talking to their friends on the phone for like 4 hours a night or something like that, they're instead plugged into the mainstream news. It's cut out all that social interaction in favor of somebody else's perspective of the world.
I don't have television where I'm at, and that's by choice. I visit with people. You can easily tell those that have television access, know nothing about what's going on in the real world. They're all paying attention to the mainstream media, and if it isn't on there, they don't believe you.
Yeah, so. Thomas Jefferson had a great quote. He said, the people who read newspapers are less informed than the people who read nothing at all.
Yeah. I agree with you there. But, you know, I chose to move to where I am because of a bad head injury that made it uncomfortable me to associate with too many people at a time without becoming a little stupefied.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like maintaining all these relationships. It's like moving into a house that has a huge backyard and actually requires a lot of maintenance. And
yeah.
You just can't do it.
No.
You know, I'm only one guy. I'm getting a bit old. You know, this is a big deal, man. I need to move into a little place, you know.
Actually, it's more relaxing. I mean, I look out the window and I can see a 9,000-foot mountain. And when it's nice and sunny down here and warm, there's snow up there on that mountain in the middle of winter. Whereas
nice.
I was 68 degrees Fahrenheit here today with blue skies, no clouds, out riding a bicycle, gone, walked down the road a ways and talked to a neighbor.
Living the life, mate.
Well, I'm enjoying it. I got no complaints. You enjoy your cultural atmosphere where you're at, and I've chose to create and accept this one here.
And I'm pretty sure that the one that I'm currently living in, I'm not saying it's entirely by choice, is it's stressful, you know, to have lots of different relationships and lots of different things going on at all the time and having all these constraints on your time.
Well, people can be demanding upon other people, and that can create stress. So, you know, it's all by choice. We all have a choice.
Yeah.
Sometimes
we don't have a choice. Like right now, we don't have a choice about the fact that there's an ad break coming. But we will be right back if we choose to be.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Following a radiological or nuclear event,
Radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Your life, as it has been, is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Central.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations. Don't let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations. Have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite. By satellite.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My nice little guest here is Joe Iarka. Where actually are you? You know, you said you're next to a 9,000-foot mountain that has snow on it. Well, it's nice and sunny down in the valley. Where is that?
Well, if you probably have to look at a map to envision it, but I'm 11 miles from the eastern Arizona border in a what they call the Mogollon Mountain Range.
The Mogollon Mountain Range. Sounds very rustic.
It's very primitive. The county that it's located in is Catron County of New Mexico. And there's about 3,500 people that occupy the whole county. And one of the statements they make is there are more elk here than there are people that live in the county.
So I presume you have a elk meat export industry?
No, but there's a long prolonged from late summer into midwinter hunting season that the state profits off of people coming to try and get an elk for their freezer.
Yeah, yeah. Because obviously that's the manly thing to do, to put an elk in your freezer.
Oh, yeah. Personally, I was in the military, and I had my share of use of guns over the years. And as long as the store's open and I can go pick up a nice big steak, that's about the way I get my meat.
Yeah.
I figure
which, why did you go into the military? Because I've spoken to a few people who've been in and wanted to go in, and I could never understand why you'd want to kind of, give up any choice in your life kind of thing for a certain time to be told what to do.
Well, back when I graduated high school in 70-71, there was such a thing as Vietnam going on, and there was a draft in the United States for people to be pulled into the war. And I had listened to a few stories of friends of the family who had gone in, and I made a decision that I was going to volunteer to go in the U.S. Air Force, and with the less likely aspect of being thrown into the jungles of Vietnam. And once I was in, I volunteered to go to Alaska. So they shipped me off to Alaska, which I was able to use as my overseas commitment assignment for the 4 years that I had enlisted for. So therefore, after Alaska, I came back and spent a year or so, and a half back in the States, and then got discharged, and I hadn't been shot at. So I thought it was a wise decision.
So after that, you know, I mean,
well, the thing
you
was,
know how you get into a routine, right? How long does it take all those habits and all that routine and everything, you know, cleaning the rifle, doing the sit-ups and whatever? Does that just kind of disappear as soon as you leave?
Well, it may not with the Air Force. The Air Force at the time I was in was more like a job other than the discipline of the command structure. So I was able to slip a little bit easier away from it, other than the fact that my father told me that I had to clean my language up when I got home. But the day I left for boot camp, my mother and father came to the airport. My mother had my draft notice, so I think I made the right decision. I would have only been in for 18 months to 2 years at the most if I was drafted, but I survived a lot easier by going in the Air Force. And
when was this? This was during the Vietnam era, was it?
Yeah, it was from 71 to 75. It was...
I've always wondered about drafts and how exactly they're legal.
Well, it's all part of the totalitarian-type government system that we have. Under color of law, they're able to turn around and inscript people into the service. They do it today by economically hamstringing the people so that they really don't have much of a choice when you're offered three meals of a day, a hot cotton, and two paychecks a month.
Hank, if you're a homeless person nowadays, they like to be arrested before the weekend, so that way they get to hold them over the weekend so they get some shelter and some food.
Well, that helps out too.
It's amazing what kind of incentives you can put before people, you know? It's not like the incentive of this is going to be good for you and it's going to be great. The incentive is anything's better than here.
Yeah. I agree with you there. Some people, if they're foresighted enough, can cover themselves to the point where they can downsize their requirements for life and struggle through. Others, they depend upon a day-to-day basis of being provided for. And, that's the way life's become.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, is that this is the way life has become. And that's what a lot of people say. And I'm quite cognizant of the fact that when people realize the way things are, they are then empowered with the ability to change it. Because once you know there's a problem, it means the problem can be solved. If the problem couldn't be solved, nobody would even notice it.
The problem I see, though, is that maybe not the ones that are close to dire straits, but those that aren't don't seem to want to recognize what the problems are. And if they do, they don't want to accept the solutions that have to be taken. And because they prefer to walk the path they're walking without being disturbed.
Oh, well, nothing will reset your priorities like a blast from a taser.
Or, as I like to say, a 2x4 up the side of the head.
You know, either works. You know, you've just kind of inscribed the old-fashioned way of discipline, and
you're going to high tech.
And today we're allegedly more humane, right?
Yep. But with all that is troubling people today, economically, politically, I was reading a story the other day that there's this super volcano in Germany that is starting to emit sulfur dioxide. And the prediction, if it blows, it will cover all of Europe, and I don't forget how many inches of volcanic ash. So I don't know really what problems we should really be concentrating on.
Well, I think it comes down to the individual, and that's what they always say, and that's the most annoying thing, because it means you need to know who the heck you are in order to figure out what you have to do. That's the challenge.
True.
Nobody can come and tell you, okay, here's the big problem, and here's your part to play in it. But the question is, and it's not a rhetorical question by any means, what can I do about it? What can I do about it? What are my skills? What are my talents? Particularly, what am I passionate about? Do I actually care? Because if you care enough, you'll get something done, assuredly.
Well,
if you don't care and you're just doing it for the money, the task will stop getting done as soon as the money runs out.
I had I don't know what you'd want to describe it as without going into some people's, when I explain this, blank look of non-comprehension. I had a spiritual experience about 20 years ago, and in modern terms, you could probably call it a born again, but it wasn't in that sense. It was a warm wave that just passed through me and kind of woke me up to a whole lot of what doesn't exist in this world. And ever since then, I've been on a kind of like trying to follow the tracks in the sand to let the people know what might be coming, so to speak. And like I said earlier, people just don't want to listen. I've run across one or two that have taken some of the information and forewarning, but they haven't taken all of it. They don't realize what the possibilities of dire straits could be. They just feel it's going to be a bump or two in the road. And to the degree that I wound up contacting you with the information on the book I wrote, which is entitled Legend of the Children, offered through Amazon Kindle at the lowest possible rate, because I'm not interested in getting any huge money off of this thing. I just want to expose people to a sense of entertainment, escapism maybe for a short while from the madness of today's world, and give them some little heads up on what used to be maybe considered moralistic, righteous.
Yeah. And madness and escapism is what the videos would show is all about.
Oh, that's what attracted me to your show. I remember two, 3 years ago when I first got a computer and I wasn't using carrier pigeons anymore, that I found your show, and I liked you and your humor and your knowledge. And it was an entertaining experience, so I've been listening as best I can ever since.
Well, thank you very much. And I guess I get to repay the favor now. Anyway, in fact, that's another point that I wanted to ask about. Old school, way back in the day, people could allegedly trust each other. Like, a man could be taken at his word, and a handshake would be all you need. You don't need all these contracts. People don't get lawyers, and, you know, there's no divorce. There's like, what's that? You know?
Sure.
People just got along a heck of a lot better without all these extra fine print, basically. It was just everybody knew. This is what a douchebag is, and this is what you don't do.
You gave a man your word, or you shook his hand on an arrangement or something. You had a moralistic consciousness to fulfill and come through, because then it was something that took away from you if you didn't. And there was no questioning not agreeing to whatever you agreed to, or not paying back whatever you agreed to borrow or whatever. It was no thought of not doing it. Today, you know, people come up to you and they'll, you know, you may know them, you may not know them as well as you'd like, and they want to borrow something or this or that. And in the past, I've had fights with people because they didn't want to return or pay back what they promised to do, and have lost friends, if you want to call them friends, because of it. And back when I was younger, that didn't happen. You know, someone come
was
over.
Was life
and
by chance pardon? A little less hectic? Was life by chance a little less hectic, not quite so pressurized, not quite so stressful, and you got paid more and your money was worth more and you could just do more?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll
okay.
agree
so,
with
see, the,
with,
the problem here is really, I feel, is just the bankers have just upped the interest rates. Now nobody's money is worth anything, so they've got to work longer hours, makes them stressed out, and because their work doesn't require any physical exercise no more, they're having no energy input, and they've got no time either, so they've got to go out and get the freaking McDonald's or any other description of drive through. They've got no time to shower, so they've got to spray themselves like a crop duster with an aluminium spray. They've got no time to properly figure out and get some time in the sun, so they rub aluminium sunscreen into their arms. They got no time to think about getting their thirst quenched, so they start buying Coca-Cola, which has got copious quantities of sodium in it and only makes them more thirsty and wrinkles them up like a prune. You know, this is just the worst thing. Everything's got a knock-on effect, and it's just so horrifying that you can't believe it.
Well, one of the things that took me a long time to get used to, and I'm still not quite into it yet, is where I'm living now. A lot of the philosophy of the people is mañana, which is Spanish.
I have no idea what that is, that but means I'm sure you're going to tell me.
That means tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Close enough.
So, you know, no one around here...
Hold on. We'll talk about this. So hold that thought for a moment there. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Joe Yarka is my guest, and we'll be back momentarily after these little messages.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio. Live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And also wanted to give a shout out to our affiliate stations in New Zealand here, iFinity FM, which have now expanded to three stations in the South Island, and of course Rush FM in Hamilton at rushfm.com or .co.nz. Forget which, but anyway, they're really great guys,
and I love them very much.
And my very special guest, Joe Yarka, is here with me for the duration of this segment. Then we're going to say goodbye to him because we've got another guest. So, Joe.
Yes.
You've been around a lot of years.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And you think that they're just about over, do you?
Hopefully not. I've got to a place where I'm a lot calmer individual, a lot more centered, and the stress is not around. So maybe I can make it beyond some of the milestones coming up.
Stress will kill you.
Oh, that it will.
And cities are stressful, and most people live in cities. And then when you tell people, don't eat that, it'll kill you, they say, ah, everybody's going to die anyway.
Well, that was my attitude before I hit 40. Then after that, I started to get a little bit more concerned. And by the time I hit 50, I was just wondering how much longer I could stretch it out. And by coming to where I am at the moment, I figure maybe I got a better than even chance of making it into even some more senior years. So, like I was explaining about this mañana, which is basically means unless it's a fire burning your house down, you can take care of it tomorrow. It doesn't have to be rushed at today. And I imagine that, like, when you say you go visit your relatives up north of where you live, you probably have an experience of decompression up there and just let it all hang out.
Yeah.
So you don't experience the stress up there as much as you might have where you're living.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you're also with people that are probably excuse your faults more so than the people in the city.
Yeah, because I think it's like when you're forced into a relationship with somebody, like through lack of choice, you tend to be a bit more polite.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's my experience. You got to value what people you have. And that's the end of the story. With the internet, though, it's kind of changed all that because now you only have to interact with anybody you really choose to. So, and also it gives you the power to get rid of people you choose not to interact with. You know, there's these great functions on Facebook and Skype. It's called block, and you never hear from them again. It's so remarkably de-stressful. I mean, seriously, that is like the scented candle equivalent of internet relaxology.
Well, I haven't dived into any of those social networks because mainly most of it was contrived to be a social fact-finding database gathering mechanism of the governments, the powers that be, whoever that want that information that isn't, they aren't entitled to, I don't believe.
Well, apparently now they're storing all this data and it's like the Library of Congress. Okay, you know how much information's in there, right?
Yeah.
Every 6 hours, that amount of information is gathered on the internet.
Well, you could also hyper-speculate that all this data information is eventually going to be fed into Terminators. If you remember.
Oh, yeah. They're saying the U.S. military is going to primarily have unmanned weaponry, you know, robots and whatnot.
Well,
by 2020, they think there'll be more robots in the field than men.
They started out practicing that in the U.S. Congress.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's amazing what a couple of Prozac and Starburst will do.
There you go.
You know, keep them unhealthy and keep them medicated, and they'll run the country into the ground just like we want, so we can use its military to exert global dominance, and then when it collapses, bring about world governance, because there'll be nothing left after the most powerful economy destroys all the others.
Well, it's a matter of whether the most powerful economy isn't going to crash beforehand.
I was watching Al Jazeera the other day, and they got all these experts, you know, pundits. We're from the university and really sort of well-established places like Goldman Sachs. And, the economy's not going to tank, you know, because there's no alternative to the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency. Obviously, these people haven't heard of the Bancor. Have you heard of the Bancor, Joe?
I'm not sure, but I've heard of the Asian Union that's being created.
Yep. Have you heard of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPPA?
I've heard of it, but I'm not very well vested in it.
I think there's like 9 countries involved, US, New Zealand, Australia, and Japan. And all these Pacific Rim countries that produce a whole lot of crap, right?
Yeah.
And I don't mean crap, like literally, I mean they produce a lot of goods. And just basically WTO comes in, controls everybody, and the companies can come into countries, not obey the laws, and then if the country says, hey, look, we're going to have to prosecute you or give you fines or anything, they can then take them to the world court and say, hey, these guys are interfering in our business. Find them and give us money from them forever in perpetuity for all the profits we're going to lose, and we're not going to operate there anymore.
Well, I was over the internet.
But we still want that country to keep paying us for enforcing their laws, which we broke, and we don't have to produce any goods now either.
Well, I was listening to a political analyst a couple days ago over on the internet radio who was talking that, according to his sources, China is ready to collapse economically, even if you believe that or not.
Well, I suppose there's a lot of info in China that keeps buttoned down, to put it bluntly.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's these peasant uprisings that are going on right now in China.
That's what he was talking about, because the few what have risen to the middle class level are a pittance compared with the rest of the population, which is suffering. And they have, I've heard stories where their massive industrial production is going on, but what they're doing is they build warehouses to put the products into because they don't have the customers to sell all of it to, but they have to keep the industrial production up to be able to pay these people so that they don't riot.
Hmm. So, well, I suppose the peasant taxes might help with that. Did you hear about that?
No,
peasant insurance.
No, I haven't.
Let me tell you. It's great. Okay, what you do is you employ somebody, then you take out a life insurance policy on them, and then you tell them that if you die or commit suicide or something, we'll give your family 10 years' wages and we'll keep the rest. And what they found is a lot of these Chinese workers and everything like that, they actually start committing suicide so they can give the money to their families.
Well, you know, that sounds a lot like in the U.S. what the government has done for the military people. They aren't paying off on the life insurance that these people had bought through the military for their families in case they died or whatever. And they're refusing to pay off on them.
So, the military is refusing to pay off on life insurance policies for people they put in harm's way.
Correct.
Yeah, standard operating procedure, bro.
But I think it all stems from one thing. There's a very big evil that has grown in this world, and it's consuming now, and it survives off of pain, suffering, and death.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah. So you know, it can be stopped. All people have to do is realize what it is and refuse to accept it. But what it's offering is greed, hate, swelling of people's egos beyond what is acceptable. But I hope to be able to survive long enough to see what some of these changes and how stupid people are going to be reacting through them, and maybe offering a helping hand along the way.
Yeah, indeed. Although sometimes it is funny to watch them fall. Thank you very much, Joe, for spending some time with us today and coming at us in between Arizona and New Mexico, I believe, next to a 9,000-foot.
Well, thank you very much, Vinny, for inviting me on and having me and putting up with me. And I wish you a good day.
And I wish you a happy new year.
Oh, it's always a happy new year.
That's it.
Pardon?
How long can we keep saying Happy New Year for? Because I just like saying it, especially because it's 2012.
Well, every day is a new day, so every day should be a new year.
How about Happy New Day?
There you go. Happy New Day, Benny. It's been a pleasure.
Right, and a Happy New Year, New Day to you, and a Merry New Breakfast.
I can always expect a laugh out of you. Thank you.
Alright, have a good day.
Bye bye.
Alright, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. Coming up, we have another guest named Michael Billington, who's going to be talking about some real freaking stuff. I think it's LaRouche Pack, LaRouchePac.com. We'll be right back. Delete the virus, alert the masses.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand. Leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are. We are. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com broadcasting live from the future from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, and the island chained nation in the slave South Pacific. My very special guest today is Michael Billington from La Rouge Pack. What is La Rouge Pack, Michael?
What is La Rouge Pack? It's the Pack is Political Action Committee. That's well known in America. Maybe it's not used in New Zealand, but that's La Rouge's Political Action Committee, which is represented on his website, which is larouchepack.com, LaRouchePac.com, which is primarily run. It's his writings and others of our writings who work for Executive Intelligence Review, our weekly intelligence magazine. But primarily, it's a large number of videos, news videos that are made two or three times every day, historical videos, scientific videos made by our scientific and political team of largely young people in their 20s and 30s who have put together an absolutely phenomenal website where you can keep up to date on political intelligence activities around the world. From a truthful point of view, a sane point of view, as opposed to what you read in the newspapers.
Yeah, because when you think truthful and sane, newspapers just kind of don't enter the equation.
They are not involved, almost 100%. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Is this a case of the inmates running the prison?
In what sense?
Well, the news media have been broadcasting such BS for so long that now they've become so full of their own BS that they don't even know what the truth is themselves.
Well, no, I don't think it's people being fooled. I mean, the media is controlled by the Rupert Murdochs of the world, you know. I mean, this is an oligarchical structure controlled from London one way or another through the City of London and Wall Street, who own and operate the vast majority of the major media to their purpose. Which is why you see the media cheerleading this in absolute insanity of bailing out Wall Street while we let the U.S. and world economy collapse, the physical economy, the real economy, and cheerleading for the launching of World War III, which is what we're seeing today. We're very close. We're closer today than the world has ever been to global nuclear war. And you won't see it presented that way generally, although it's increasingly sort of sneaking its way into commentary. But you do see that people are cheerleading launching a war on Iran. And anybody who doesn't recognize that launching a war on Syria and Iran at this point is a virtual declaration of war against Russia and China has their head up their proverbial you-know-what. It's a clear situation where the British Empire and Obama, who is a 100% controlled asset of the British imperial interests, meaning the financial interests centered in the City of London and their assets in Wall Street, have determined that with the West in a state of absolute collapse, the European and American banking system literally in shambles, collapsing on an hour-to-hour basis, the euro probably not to last through the next few weeks and certainly not the next few months. The U.S. economy continuing its precipitous, collapse in terms of the physical economic collapse, while the only efforts to deal with this are creating more and more hyperinflationary bailouts, which are going to create a situation worse than 1923 Germany. The British view on this, the British imperial view, is that while Asia continues to prosper, although they're getting severely hit by this collapse in the West, and we can go into that, but nonetheless, they continue to have a forward trajectory in terms of scientific and technological development, space development, high-speed rail development, nuclear power development, and so forth, centered around China, but including, by and large, all of Asia. And that is unacceptable to the empire. And they would rather launch global war, nuclear war, and destroy Asia than to allow this shift of the center of world, the world from their Atlantic, transatlantic alliance to the Pacific. And the primary way in which they want to do that is to provoke a war between the United States and those who should be our natural allies, as they were under Franklin Roosevelt, meaning Russia and China and India and the Asian nations generally. And the effort to get the United States under this puppet Obama to launch this insane genocidal war against Iran is intended to provoke that confrontation with Russia and China, which will almost absolutely lead to a nuclear holocaust.
Do you want to hear something really hilarious that I think you might appreciate?
Let it go.
You ever heard a news headline? Okay, this is the news headline from Radio New Zealand News. Iran tests new nuclear missile.
nuclear missile. yeah, you're right. I mean, this, you know, it's funny. We can laugh, but this is deadly serious.
It goes on to say, Iran has defiantly announced it has tested a new missile and made an advance in its nuclear program.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, of course, they have made an advance in the nuclear program. They're proceeding forward with the totally legal and justified and, in fact, absolutely necessary for them and for every other nation on Earth development of their peaceful nuclear power capacities. As far as turning their enrichment procedures into producing the high level of enrichment, 90% or so, needed for nuclear weapons. There are IAEA people all over Iran. It's not like they've thrown the IAEA out. They haven't, the International Atomic Energy Agency. They're there. They know. And the you probably know, Vince, I don't know, but here in the United States, we have the group of all intelligence agencies. Do you see me on Skype, by the way?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I've got you.
Yeah. I'm on video, and I don't see you. I was just wondering if you wanted to have video on this. But anyway.
I did, and I've been trying, but it apparently doesn't work without Skype group video, which you have to pay $5 a month for.
Okay. Anyway, the it's called the National Intelligence Council. It's made up of representatives of all the major intelligence agencies, CIA, FBI, Naval Intelligence, Military Intelligence, Defense Intelligence, and so on. And they have provided the most competent analysis of the Iranian nuclear program starting in 2007 when they determined absolutely that the Iranians did indeed stop their nuclear weapons studies in 2003 and had not begun them again. This was renewed just this year, or last year rather, 2011, and reaffirmed that they had not. They further, just in the last week, reported that were it the case that they began enriching uranium above the approximately 20% that they use for their medical research, that the U.S. has the capacity, absolutely, to sense that, to be able to determine that that process is going on, which would give us somewhere in the range of 2 to 3 years time to deal with the fact that they began producing uranium capable of producing weapons. In other words, there is absolutely no rush on this. And as you may know...
Oh, come on, come on. It's 2012. We have to have nuclear war in 2012.
Yeah, you're right.
Obama and the U.S. administration just kind of seem like this funny farm when it comes to anybody having anything that could be nuclear or something like that. It's like they turned the IAEA into the EIEIO.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the case. I mean, if you don't get Obama out, if Obama is not removed, as LaRouche has absolutely insisted, that unless this guy is removed from office by the 25th Amendment, which is that he's mentally incompetent to serve, or through impeachment or through forced resignation one way or the other.
Did somebody not try that on Bush, too? I mean, they should have. But.
Well, it was stopped by stupid or criminal Democrats who thought that it were better to have Bush and Cheney as their opponents because they were hated, and therefore we'd win. And this is exactly what's going on amongst many people today, Republicans Democrats, by the way, who know that Obama is nuts, that he's a puppet of a warmongering team, and we can discuss what he's just signed in what we call the Hitler Enabling Act, this National Defense Authorization, which grants him absolute dictatorial powers, which is now law in the United States. They know this, but they're afraid to act. On the Democrat side, they're simply cowardly or corrupt. On the Republican side, unfortunately, you get from many of the better Republicans that they're going to wait till the elections, you know, that it's good to have a hated figure up there as a presidential candidate because the Republicans will win. Well, the Republican team is a bunch of absolute wackos, as Ron Paul has at least had the courage to identify the fact that the other Republican candidates, as his son Rand Paul said last night, he said, these people scare me. They think we should have war in virtually every nation on Earth, and they are controlling a nuclear arsenal. This is.
Well, I've got something to add in here, because last night, okay, New Zealand media, they report Ron Paul as having controversial anti-war views.
Yeah. Oh no! You probably don't watch these crazy debates that take place here between these Republican candidates. But you know, when Ron Paul gets up and says, and I, don't get me wrong, I don't think Ron Paul is qualified as a presidential candidate because economically and otherwise he's just, you know, insane. But he's had courage. He's shown great courage over the years in standing up against this criminal imperial war policy, which started with Bush and Cheney and which has been continued and expanded under Obama. So on that front, he's right. But in these debates, these other Republican candidates literally try to outbid each other on who wants to nuke Iran. I mean, we're calling Newt Gingrich Nuke Gingrich. Santorum, we're calling Sanatorium. Because these people are clinically insane. They're literally ranting about what a great thing it would be to launch a full-scale war on Iran today. In fact, remember this guy John Yoo, Y-O-O? Does that name ring a bell to you there in New Zealand?
No.
He was the lawyer at the Justice Department under Bush and Cheney, who issued what were called the torture memos, who provided a legal cover for practicing torture and also for launching preemptive wars. Now, he's no longer in the administration, but he issued a document in the National Review yesterday in which he tried to provide a legal basis for launching a war in Iran. And listen, let me read you this. This is it's amazing for its honesty, you might say. Looks like I can't find it here in front of me. Yeah, here it is. Wait a minute. This is John Yoo saying, quote, that the legal justification is that the United States is now the new British Empire. He says, quote, the United States has assumed the role once held by Great Britain of guaranteeing free trade and economic development, spreading liberal values, and maintaining international security. An attack on Iranian nuclear facilities, though it would impose costs in human lives and political turmoil, would serve these interests and forestall the spread of conflict and terror. The Republican presidential candidates must begin preparing the case for a military strike to destroy Iran's nuclear program. This is the level of outright fascist lunacy, which is not just the right-wing Republicans, but which is the Obama administration itself. We now know, for instance, that Obama personally has put together a team, a Syria team, to investigate how to justify, and they use themselves the term how to find a pretext, that's their term, and it involves some people from state, from commerce, from the National Security Council, and so on. But the document they're studying to find a pretext for a war in Syria is prepared by the Henry Jackson Society in London, named after the Scoop Jackson, the Democrat here, who was one of the initiators of the neoconservative movement, which is mostly Republican, but which is actually both parties, or people from both parties. And that document, which is the base, this involves the leading neocons from the Bush-Cheney years, and people like Dearlove, the head of MI6 under Tony Blair for 6 years during the 99 to 2005 period when they ran the criminal war in Iraq and so on. So this is the team advising this president, a so-called Democrat, on how to carry out imperial wars around the world.
Well, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it. And what they've done now is both of these parties, which serve the interests of the same criminal banks, the scum, are saying, oh, don't throw us into the briar patch. Instead, give us legislation that allows us to basically kill or kidnap anybody anywhere at any time and torture them forever until perpetuity and whatever. You listen to the Vinny Acewood Show, the show that's all about torture than laughing at it. We'll be right back after the break.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating, or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly, sneak-parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein control. These hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police, trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist parroting puppet gangster playboy scum on top.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about the parroting puppet gangster scum, like our Lord and Savior, President Barack H. O'Barry.
The one.
He's like Jet Li in that movie, you know, where he kills all 50 other versions of himself and he becomes the most powerful incarnation of himself in the freaking whole universe.
Let me note that in the April of 2009, wait a minute, do I have that right? Yeah, April 2009, Lyndon LaRouche did a national webcast, and we had warned throughout the election that Obama was a synthetic puppet financed by George Soros, British financial interests, and other assets of the British Wall Street nexus. But in April of 2009, LaRouche gave a webcast identifying Obama as having a severe psychiatric problem, narcissism, a clinical case of severe narcissism, that he was a puppet of this British imperial operation, whose primary target, by the way, I mean, when you look at Prince Charles and their effort to break down sovereignty around the world, to bring about some sort of a global imperial control over nations and destroy their sovereignty. But the primary target is the United States. What the British have always hated from the time of the Revolution and their failure in the War of 1812 and their failure in the Civil War to break the United States is to eventually figure out some way to break this Republican view, this idea of a creditary economic system, to oppose the free trade, free market British model. And since when Roosevelt basically succeeded in rebuilding that American system policy and pulled the United States out of the Depression in the 1930s, and then succeeded in defeating fascism, which was a creation of the British. Hitler was put in office by Montague Norman and the Bank of England.
And that's been proven as well. I think it was MI5 or MI6, I think, they released their tax records. And guess who was the most highly paid British agent during the war years? Ooh. Adolf friggin' Hitler.
Yeah, sure. They, it's no secret. They were quite open. They wanted the Germans and the Russians to bleed each other to death in a war. And when the Germans instead, when Hitler decided to go west and to attack the U.S., Winston Churchill came running on his knees to Roosevelt and said, please save us. And Roosevelt recognized that we had to defeat the fascists. But he knew from throughout that war that this, as he told Winston Churchill to his face, he said, we are not fighting this war to save the British Empire. There'll be no empire after this war. And we had plans of using the American system approach, meaning the government-directed investment of credit into science, technology, infrastructure, building up that what's needed for the general welfare. And that this was the intent of Roosevelt. He died, much to the world's, to the disaster of the world. And a British puppet, Harry Truman, took over and basically helped the British back into their colonies. And we had, therefore, 30 years of hideous colonial wars, which the Americans fought on behalf of the British, really, in Vietnam and so forth. But that
Truman,
that is,
Truman was a bit of a psycho. There was a story that he, the amount of time he took to make up his mind about whether or not they were going to nuke Japan, knowing that the Japanese were already surrendering, he took five, 10 minutes or something like that.
Absolutely.
5-10 minutes off his conscience for a couple of 100,000 people incinerated like lamb in a roasting dish.
No, that's absolutely true. Never in a million years would Roosevelt have used that nuclear weapon. But the British insisted, and Truman acceded, to the purpose of basically holding up a horrible example to Russia and others that they better give in to the idea of a global government, which they hoped the IMF would be. Never quite succeeded because the Roosevelt impulse didn't die completely with his death. Nonetheless...
Well, currently, our economies mostly are IMF'd.
Yeah, now they are. Yeah, there's no question. Since the killing of Kennedy, and as we were discussing off the air here, I encourage all of your listeners, go to our website, www.larouchepac.com, and watch some of those videos, but especially watch this one called NAWAPA 1964. NAWAPA stands for the North American Water and Power Alliance. We began to mention in our discussion, but that this was the greatest single infrastructure project ever conceived by man. It was done by the Parsons Company during the 1950s, and under Kennedy, it was on the verge of being implemented. And even after his death, those who, including his brother Robert and others, a senator named Frank Moss from Utah, fought and fought and fought to get this implemented. The idea was to move the water that spills off from Alaska and the Yukon into the Arctic, to divert it down into the through the Rocky Mountain Trench with pumps and reservoirs and so forth, and into the so-called Great American Desert, the very, very dry western part of America, and into northern Mexico, equally a desert. And some of the water also diverted off towards the east. But this would double the agricultural land in America. It would change the climate. This is real climate change, not the garbage that they peddle as carbon creating, you know, this and that disaster, which is all total hoax. But real climate change, meaning bring the water in to an area which begins the precipitation and evaporation process, which uses the water about three times before it eventually makes it off into the ocean, and create a new climate in an area that's now a desert. Now, this would have put, if we were to implement that program now, it would put 3 to 4 million people to work. We'd have to build high-speed rail, nuclear power plants, build new cities. But we would transform America the way we transformed America when we first built this country, through high-speed rail, through city building, through infrastructure, technology, water control, power, and so forth. These ideas have been destroyed by the impulse of this British Prince Philip and his minions at the World Wildlife Fund peddling this green environmentalist crap.
That guy is completely nuts. He got like a train, okay? A giant freaking train with like 14 carriages, 80 tons a carriage, running it on biofuel off of corn that could have been fed to people.
Yeah, it's true. I hadn't heard that story, but you're right. The whole biofuels thing is just genocidal. It's really sick. Absolutely sick. We have a serious global food shortage today. And a major chunk of it, not all, but a major chunk of it is this diversion of food to burn it for fuel inefficiently, losing money, losing investment in the process, but doing it because the Prince Philip's dream of reducing the world's population down to 1 billion from the current 6-plus billion, that dream, which he stated over and over, he even wants to become a deadly virus when he dies, which he almost did last week.
He almost died last week?
He almost did, yeah. Prince Philip we weren't so sure if we were anxious to see him go on to his just rewards or if it means his dream of being incarnated as a deadly virus might have been realized, you know.
I don't know what your perception is, but I see him currently as the embodiment of some description of deadly plague across this planet.
Oh, no, he is. He's the very core of the imperial evil that we in America have been battling for 300 years.
We're dealing right now with a Prince Charles pandemic, okay? And by goodness, there is no cure.
I'm talking of Philip, actually. I mean, Charles is just a lunatic son, but Philip is the actual evil mind behind the Queen and pursuing not only this genocide program of reducing the world's population through every possible means, but these are also the people absolutely committed to this war. They do not want to see the Asian nations united with America or even on their own, but continuing to progress. And they want to reduce the world's population. And most of the people are in Asia. So, you know, a good nuclear war with Asia, in their view, would serve mankind. Now, this is where we stand in the United States. Let me shift a little bit to make the point, because I think probably your listeners are not terribly familiar with the internal crisis here in the United States. Don't write the U.S. off. We're very close to self-destruction. But as I mentioned before, Obama was put in by Soros and the British and so on because they did not want to see Hillary Clinton in the White House. If she had gotten to the White House, her husband Bill would have back in, and Lyndon LaRouche, whom I work for, would have been back in because we have been very close to them and people around them for a long time. You can't just watch and see what Hillary has been forced to do as Secretary of State on behalf of her boss. And I could go into more detail of how this works. But we can mobilize key Republicans and key Democrats who recognize at this point that this nation and the world are not going to survive the near term if we don't remove Obama from office now. It's not going to be easy. It's not a it's a desperate situation, but it's not completely hopeless. And what we, the LaRouche movement here and around the world, including in Australia, where we have a very strong organization, are in the process of building what in fact is our only hope, which is that we build the alliance of key people in the Congress, people who in many cases are decent people, if cowardly, but people who recognize that LaRouche has been right all along about Obama, about the global financial breakdown crisis, which he's been warning about since the 1960s, actually, when I first met him, and that there is only one solution, which is the Glass-Steagall Act. Are you familiar with Glass-Steagall? Do you know what that is?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and your audience is familiar? You've discussed it?
Well, and even for those who are not, I can sum up Glass-Steagall in a few seconds. First, economic depression, ladies and gentlemen, was caused by people creating monstrous amounts of debt out of trading on the stock market. This current depression is caused by the exact same thing. What happened before that time and between that time was the Glass-Steagall Act that prevented people from making Shiite Muslim up.
Exactly. It divided... The government provide under Roosevelt, we created the SEC, we created the FDIC, things to assure that our banks would be backed up and bailed out when they were in a crisis, but under very strict conditions. Those banks, those commercial banks, were absolutely forbidden from participating in any kind of speculation, stocks and bonds, insurance, certainly no derivatives or any of the gambling casino stuff that goes on now. The investment banks were basically allowed, almost unregulated, to go ahead and use people's, their own private money and people's money to speculate, but they had no backup from the U.S. government. None. Oh. No taxpayer backup. And when the Glass-Steagall Act was removed by Greenspan and his friends, that opened up the biggest speculative bubble in the history of mankind under the Bush-Cheney years. Continuing under Obama, but the crash that hit in 2007 and 8 effectively blew that whole massive financial bubble apart. Instead of re-implementing Glass-Steagall, we went into this insane massive bailout, printing money in huge quantities here for American and European banks. And we now have a derivative bubble that's even larger than it was back in 2007 and 8. We've created a mass of fictitious paper in the banking system, which has not leaked out into the real economy yet in great quantities. We see inflation, but not yet hyperinflation. But if that money were to be unleashed, then we would see a hyperinflation where basically your currency would be turned into toilet paper. Now, this, again, there's no solution except to write off all that paper, the stuff that represents pure speculation. And implementing Glass-Steagall today would be to separate off in all the banks those investments that represent real investments into industry, agriculture, infrastructure, hospitals, schools, and so forth, from the speculation. And the speculative paper goes back to the investment banks, and they can sink or swim. And they probably will sink. And who needs Goldman Sachs? We don't need them. But yeah, we've got to save our commercial banking system.
Yeah. Well, I think the smaller banks and the local banks, things like that, that aren't tied into the major financial institutions, they're the ones that are actually probably the most important at the end of the day because, hey, that's where the real freaking money is because they're not loaning stuff out at ridiculous interest rates from money that doesn't freaking exist. Now, my solution to the debt crisis, and I'm not sure if it'll work or anything like that, if anybody can be creative enough, is to pretend that it doesn't exist, okay? They pretended that this stuff does have value and that it does exist and then created this debt bubble out of it. So I think we can just as easily pretend that it doesn't exist, wipe off all the debt, and then start from square one.
Don't pretend. Actually, make it pass the law to declare that it does exist, that it's henceforth valueless.
Yeah, there we go. creative solution, done, simple, lateral thinking people. That's the best way to go to economic catastrophe. We'll be right back.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkeley water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkeley banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out with me, John Zaskota, on Stranger Advice. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on American Freedom Radio. Radio. Radio.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. Just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seems. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Yeah. The Vinny Eastwood Show. Egging ever on forward into the setting South Pacific sun. But it's a heck of a lot brighter this time of year. It's nice and summery. It's also really nice because we have a great HAARP-created hole in the ozone layer, which threatens to cook our flesh like pork crackling. In a hot, nice glazed sunset. Auckland, fluoride capital of this freaking country. Full of media that has no relevance. In fact, you know, I've started to notice that there's not a lot of uniquity to most countries in the world. You have a look at their legislation, you have a look at their parliament, you have a look at their media, their major corporations, the major brands, and all of that kind of stuff. There's not much difference. We're living in the same scam, all of us, together. Isn't that great? We're like one family stepping into the darkness together.
Well, this breaks apart at a moment like this. I don't know if you ever read Percy Bysshe Shelley, but Shelley's famous book called The Defense of Poetry develops the idea, which is expressed in the very last paragraph, that at moments of great crisis, when civilization begins to break down because of what you just described, that people have become inured to lunacy, to stupidness, to insanity. That at that moment, when the civilization itself begins to crumble, that you have a unique moment where people very rapidly, when they're forced to lose their delusions and their false axioms, go through a process, a psychological process, where they're capable, as Shelley says, of comprehending profound thoughts of man and nature, which they're normally just not interested in. But when they suddenly realize that their future and their children's future is being demolished, they suddenly begin to think about what it means to be a human being. And they begin to grapple with the fact that their mind is not just their physical being. It's not just their physical safety and the satisfaction of their senses, their sex and their drugs and their foods and so forth, but that they actually have some mission in life, at least for their families. And when that is challenged, then they're forced to think about what their mission is for their nation and for mankind in general. And we are in that moment where the poet becomes the legislator of history, which is another phrase that Shelley used, and which this is what LaRouche is focused on, is that we have to be brutally truthful about the danger facing mankind and civilization. But we do that in the context of holding out hope to people that if they choose to start using their creative powers, to learn science, to learn history, to learn music, to understand real music, to study Beethoven and Bach, which most of our generation has just been deprived of, that these things can awaken in the human spirit and the human mind those creative powers which are absolutely essential if we're going to defeat this evil and begin to implement the kind of renaissance and the kind of great infrastructure projects which are the only hope that we pull the world out of this collapse that we're in today.
I thought about the whole idea about chips fall where they may, you know, the whole Fight Club principle. And I think not, you know. It tends to be sort of trying to go back to the beginning, more or less, is what you try to do in the end, you know. We've done an amazing experiment here with human life up to this point in history, and we basically, you look at history, you know what works, you know what doesn't. Fascism, tyranny, does it work? No, it doesn't. Doesn't work very well for most people, so let's not have any of that. And then, of course, you have a look at the political situation that we've got here. And I wanted to kind of expand on Ron Paul a little bit. Do you feel, I mean, what's his impact on the country as a whole?
Well, the impact is important only in the limited sense that what happened, like in the vote last night, you probably saw the vote in the Iowa, the first Republican primary.
I couldn't believe he came in third, eh?
Yeah, he got 21 or 22% of the vote, I think. It's important not because it has anything to do with who's going to be president. He's not qualified to be president. But this is an anti-war vote, and he himself has said that his economic insanity about massive cutting of the budget and so forth and his refusal. Actually, he has endorsed Glass-Steagall, but he still refuses to understand the implications of it because he's a libertarian at heart. But his absolute dogged fight against these imperial wars has created a movement in Republican circles, which the impact is going to be on the Democrats. When they recognize that a huge proportion of the Republicans are willing to vote against all so-called standard Republican principles because they hate these damn wars and they realize how insane it is. Whether they recognize we're on the brink of nuclear war or not is important, but is not the most important thing. It's that they're expressing something which is going to affect Democrats, that people are going to have the courage to go after Obama for the Nazi that he is. If they see that there's a significant portion of Republicans, and I can tell you we have a significant group of Republicans who have not only signed on to Glass-Steagall, but who also are working with us on repealing the most extreme parts of this Hitler-Enabling Act that was just signed the other day, and otherwise moving to stop this war, including the generals that I mentioned to you and some of the intelligence professionals. So we have a chance of winning this, but it's going to...
Being in the intelligence circles and whatnot, does Iran even... Are they even a credible threat of any kind whatsoever?
No, no.
Is there any evidence to suggest this in any form?
No, of course not. No, the target is not Iran. See, this is important. The target is Russia and China.
Oh, you've just kind of dropping out a bit there. You need to speak back into your microphone.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
It fell apart. Let me just say a few things that your audience may not be familiar with. Besides the Iran war threat, Obama has also thrown out the window the so-called reset that Hillary Clinton arranged with Medvedev and Putin in Russia, and said we're going to throw out the agreement that we would not set new missiles against each other and so on. And in fact, we're going to go ahead and deploy missiles all around the Russian border in Europe. The Russians have said very, very clearly that this is an act of war or a threat of war against Russia, and we will have to respond. And the argument that this is to defend against Iranian missiles, of course, is ludicrous. They know what it is. And it is, in fact, this British instigated policy of having a nuclear showdown with Russia. So people like Medvedev and Putin are now collaborating. These are fairly close friends of ours. These are people who want to build Russia using American system methods. High-speed rail, building a tunnel under the Bering Strait to connect Alaska and Siberia, nuclear power development, collaboration with China, collaboration with Korea and Japan, for that matter, technology-oriented, what Roosevelt used to represent as the American system as opposed to the lunacy we now have in the United States. So these people are being very public about the fact that we're sitting on the brink of war. Rogozin, who was the Russian ambassador to NATO and has warned that we are sitting very close to nuclear war, both over the Middle East crisis and this missile deployment, has just been made vice premier under Putin. He's in charge of defense, which includes the defense industries and the space program. He's committed to reviving at the highest level Russia's historic commitment to scientific and technological development and space exploration and so on. And these are people who should be America's closest allies. But in fact, because of the lunacy of this British war policy being pushed by Obama, we are now, in fact, preparing for a possible war with this, what should be our closest allies. And the same thing in the case of China. So, for instance, the deployment of this base in Australia, which I know you're all familiar with, when Obama did this Asia trip, I wrote an article about this, which I'd be glad to send you for the EIR. This was the entire trip had only one purpose, which was to provoke a confrontation and a military as well as economic confrontation with China. And the message to Asia was either you're with us or against us. Either you join us on this so-called TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a free trade pact against China. And you
I hate
join
that
us.
Slave trade.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
That's what free trade means. It just means slave trade.
It is exactly. Opium and slaves. Yeah, you're right. That's what free trade has always stood for. That's what the opium wars were, is justifying drug and slave traffic under the guise of free trade.
See,
and that's
drugs,
still happening today.
And making the drugs illegal makes the government's profits when they deal in those drugs go right on up, doesn't it? Thank you very much, Michael, for coming on the show with me today, mate. It's been a real pleasure, and I'd love it if you'd plug your website just once
more.
Yeah,
the website.
We leave.
Please, please go to the website. I think anybody that goes to that website is going to be hooked. LaRouchePac.com, LaRouchePac for Political Action Committee.com. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
And also, down on the lower right-hand side under documentaries, the first one there is NAWAPA, N-A-W-A-P-A, 1964. Has a little picture of Kennedy on it. Highly recommended by Michael right here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. So, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed bringing it to you. And we'll be back again sometime. Love you very, 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 very much.